Hello, friends, and welcome to the Everyday Truth Podcast with Kurt Skelly. Our purpose is to show that the Bible is relevant to your life every single day, and we're glad you joined us here for the conversation as we investigate the book of 2 Timothy and discover powerful truths about mentorship from a father-to-son perspective. Now, let's hear what Kurt has to say.
And welcome back, my friends, to a brand new episode of Everyday Truth and a brand new chapter. Caleb, I never thought we'd make it to chapter 2.
We're finally there. It might have taken a while, but we're slowly going.
We are at a snail's pace, but it's a good pace because we've really looked at some powerful verses in the Bible about living for the Lord and having confidence in Christ. And that whole theme continues on into chapter 2. Look at the very first verse of 2 Timothy chapter 2, where the Bible says, "Thou therefore," and I know I've said this on this podcast before, but anytime you see that word "therefore" in the Bible, you know that the information that follows the word is based upon something you've learned before the word.
Right.
So when Paul says, "Thou therefore, my son," he's just told Timothy, hey, you can live for Jesus. Don't look at negative examples. Look at positive examples. Don't be ashamed. Hold fast these sound words. "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." So be strong in the grace that's in Christ Jesus. I see a wonderful harmony in that verse because there is human responsibility, but then there's also God's empowerment, isn't there?
Yeah. Yeah. It's at this time when Timothy is feeling frightened and he's feeling that he can't, he's feeling ashamed, really, as in what Paul was getting at. He said, because of these examples, because of what I've told you, you can be strong, but you also have the grace of God. It's through God's grace that you can be strong. And so he's reminding him of the source of that strength that he has. Because Timothy might, you know, at this time, he's trying to stand on his own. And that might be why he is feeling ashamed, because he's trying to do it within himself. And Paul is saying, no, you can be strong, and it's through the grace of God.
So at the end of the day, you have to make a choice. Timothy, you have to make a choice. So be strong. In other words, adopt this attitude. But Timothy, the choice is yours, but the resource is God's. So you can choose to be strong, but in the grace. God's grace is his unmerited favor. Listen to this definition. God's grace is his unmerited favor, which gives me both the desire and the ability to do his will. So it's by God's grace that we are empowered. It's by God's grace that we have this desire and this ability to follow him. So, Timothy, the same grace that was available to me in my condition, that I'm not ashamed. I know whom I have believed. The same grace that perpetuated Onesiphorus, hey, that grace is available to you. The grace of God that brings salvation hath appeared to all men. And that grace is going to empower you. So, Timothy, be strong in grace.
What a truth for us that grace is still available to us today, the grace of God. And that same grace that Paul, took in his life in Onesiphorus, we as believers also are available to have that grace of God in our lives.
I think too often, and I've done this, Caleb, I'm sure that you would testify the same. We get this idea that, you know, we're saved by grace, and we know that it's not of ourselves, it's the gift of God. We get it, but I think sometimes we forget that we're supposed to live by grace too. And Paul drove at that in the book of Galatians when he said, "Having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh?" In other words, do you think that God has a different plan for the believer than he did for the first act of belief? Of course not.
Yeah, Yeah, and it says so many times that we get off the path of what we're supposed to, because we try to live in our own strength, and we try to, things come in our lives and we think, well, I have to use my smarts to do this, or I have to use my power to do this, or I have to use my judgment, my discernment. And we try to take on all these battles of our life on our own and through our natural gifts. But we forget that, hey, God gave us the grace, like you said, at salvation. But also that same grace can continue us moving forward, can get us through these situations, can get us through these trials, can get us through these difficulties. But we sometimes just choose not to access that grace.
So when Paul says to Timothy, be strong in the grace, in other words, make a choice to operate within the scope of your calling and your purpose. And then Paul already told them what some of that entailed: holding fast those sound words, faithfully being committed to the gospel. Okay, so what practically did it mean for Paul to say, be strong in grace? Well, what that meant practically was, Timothy, do the things that God has called you to do. So in Timothy's case, that was, you are a teacher of the gospel. You are a leader in that assembly. You are to mentor and train new leaders. Hmm. So that's exactly what he says in verse 2. Yeah. The things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same. Commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. So in other words, Timothy, be strong to be that next link in the chain, to keep this gospel thing moving generationally.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's that perspective that he had was, I'm not just mentoring Timothy, but I'm mentoring Timothy to be a mentor of many. And then it keeps going on. And so as the person who's being mentored, we have to understand that what we're given, it's not just our responsibility to take God's word and take these truths and just for our own benefit, but also to bless and mentor others as well. And we see that principle here as he commands Timothy to find faithful men and to repeat that process.
So there are at least four generations of disciples mentioned in verse 2. The things that thou hast heard of me, so there's Paul, among many witnesses, the same commit thou, so Paul to Timothy, that's one transfer. Then Timothy, commit thou to faithful men, there's Timothy committing to faithful men, that's the third generation. And then these faithful men shall be able to teach others also.
Hmm.
Now, what is he teaching others also? To do the same thing,
yeah,
that they would then pass on.
Right.
So you have four generations listed, but really you have an infinite number of links in this chain. And truth be told, Caleb, we're links in this chain.
Right.
Somebody taught somebody who taught somebody who taught Paul, who taught Timothy, who taught you, who taught me,
right,
who taught you. But that's just, yeah, the way that works.
Yeah. It's amazing to see how God continues to use people, to use us as vessels. And we have that opportunity to, and really we have that responsibility to continue, as we were saying a few verses ago with the gospel, to guard it is to share it. And we've got to take these truths that we've learning from God's word. And who are you committing those words to yourself?
And you said the word, it's commit. So back to chapter 1, we talked about this a couple episodes ago, that good thing which was committed unto thee. The word commit bears the idea of a sacred trust. So this is not just a laissez-faire, hey, you know, if you get around to it, you ought to share the gospel with somebody. You know, if,
yeah,
you get a chance, if,
right,
your schedule permits. That's probably one of the reasons why we have such a, to use the word again, a laissez-faire Christianity today, mm-hmm, is because there's no sense of urgency, there's no sense of stewardship, there's no sense of commitment.
Yeah, and it's sometimes it's just with the content the contentment we have with where we're at, humanly speaking. We have a good situation, but here in these times, there were some desperate times, and sometimes in our own contentment, it can lead us to be ineffective. But we have to make sure that during this time that we are continually committing and understanding the urgency. We don't know when Christ is going to come back. We don't know how long we have. We're not promised tomorrow. So in today, we need to be committing to other people.
So Paul is speaking of the urgency and the seriousness of the commitment to the gospel. Hey, I told you this among many witnesses. So there's an accountability. There is a responsibility. And I think the metaphors that the Apostle Paul uses from verse 3 on further underscore just how serious the gospel ministry is. Look at verse 3. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And we're going to extend that metaphor into verse 4, but just think about that one thought. So therefore, because this is a strong commitment, Understand that with this strong commitment and with this important work, there's going to come opposition. It's going to be hard. It's going to take a level of sacrifice. There's a good book out there. It's a little bit dated now, called Do Hard Things. Mm. And the gospel is hard. I think one of the mistakes we've made in recent days and generations is to try to make everything so easy. It's easy to come to church. It's easy to make it easy to serve God. And, you know, hey, just read your Bible 5 minutes a day. And, you know, try to witness to one person this year. And we set the bar so low.
Yeah.
And, you know, hey, just why don't you be bold enough to, you know, bow your head and pray at the lunch table as if that's some great act of martyrdom for the gospel. And I think we've gotten away from, let's talk about what it means to be a soldier of Jesus Christ.
Yeah, absolutely. And a soldier, I love that that analogy he uses, because it is a spiritual warfare that we're going through. And it's something that is a battle each and every day. And sometimes we try to pick and choose which battles we want to take and say, well, today I'll pray at the lunch table, or this day, you know, maybe, you know, next month I'll get around to witnessing to somebody. But the enemy doesn't take any days off, and it's that spiritual warfare is going on every day, and we need to be committed, like he, you know, that verb he keeps using, to commit to other people and commit to his word, because the urgency is real.
So what do good soldiers do? Good soldiers don't quit. They endure. They endured hardness. And then in verse 4, what do good soldiers do? Well, good soldiers, no man that warreth, that's the soldier, entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. So not only do good soldiers endure, they don't quit, but good soldiers then stay focused. You know, they're not part-time. They're not, you know, working at Walmart and then, okay, when I'm finishing my shift, I'm going to go out to the battlefield. No, yeah. they're not entangling themselves with they're laser focused.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Bible says they are pleasing him that hath called them to be a soldier. They don't care what other people think. They only care what their commanding officer thinks. You know, the soldier doesn't say, okay, we've been ordered into battle. You know, let me call grandma and, you know, put this out on Facebook and do a little Instagram poll and find out if I should go. No, if they have a command from their officer, they go. That's what soldiers do.
Yeah. And I think sometimes the reason we get so entangled with things of this life is because the second part of verse 4 is not true for us, because a lot of times we're just interested in pleasing self. And when we get in that mindset where it's just about us and what's easy for me, what works for me, what's convenient for me. Now our whole purpose and our drive is rooted in us. And so it's no wonder we're entangled in all these other things. And then, like you said, we lose focus. And, you know, something that is convicting to me recently, I was listening to a podcast and they were giving out statistics. It was a leadership podcast, and they were saying, well, something as simple as your phone. And they gave some statistics about how often people use their phone. And it just was so eye-opening.
Staggering.
It's just unbelievable how much time or so, how something so little or so easy can distract me and
entangle.
Others and entangle me with the affairs of this life, with things that don't really matter. Why? Because I'm interested in getting a laugh, getting a like, or, messaging that person or whatever it is. And ultimately, the second part of the verse is not true, and that's why the first part doesn't happen.
At the end of the day, serving Jesus Christ comes down to the overarching motive of pleasing Him, pleasing Him. We live our life for the audience of one. Our motivation needs to be, He loves us, He died for us, and therefore our mantra is, I want to please Him. And I hope that's your attitude today. And if it's not, I hope that you'll do some soul searching, ask the Lord to help you, do that work down deep in your heart, and let's be good soldiers of Jesus Christ. God bless you, my friends.
Thanks for taking time to listen. If Everyday Truth matters to you, go ahead and subscribe to the podcast or share it with a friend. Until next time, God bless.